Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, 7 August 2018, so we are going to start our puja now. Let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence our puja chanting. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. 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 Nam mô Mi La Phổ. Nam mô Mi La Phổ. Nam mô Phụ Thiện Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phụ Thiện Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phụ Thiện Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava.Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvakasaṅgho Saṅghaṁ Namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we all turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa.Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Adinadana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikha Padang SamadhyamiMusavada Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Now we are chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena.Dittena tamadang sena Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang Phú cha bà cha na mơ tơ mang Văn gắn đa gu nô bê tăng Ê tăng cơ su ma sản ta tin Phú cha yê a mi mô nín đa sơ Sì rì bà đa sà rô rô hê Phú cha mi bù tăng cơ su mê na nê na Phun nê na chơ Chờ phổ thu mô khăn Phú băng mi la yát ti yát ta y đăng mê Kha yô ta ta yát ti vi na sa ba vang A di va se tu no ban te Pa ni yang pa ri kha pi thang A nu kham pang u pa da ya Pātigān hātu mūtamāṁ ādivāse tu no bhante pāle parikā pitāṁ ānukampāṁ upādāya Pātigān hātu mūtamāṁ ādivāse tu no bhante bhojānāṁ parikā pitāṁAnukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang We are now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya,leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings.May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us chant it. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem.Dang pujami Damang pujami Sanghang pujami Okay, you all can be seated and just relax body and mind. We will have half an hour of meditation. Oh, they still have the garland to offerOkay, we let them offer the garland, then we rejoice. Yeah. Just offer them. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Any of the rupang, anyone, you can just offer it. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, can off the light. I think all of you already know how to meditate. Just relax, body and mind, silent everything. Just allow the natural state of mind to return to its original state. When you relax and silent, don't do anything, the mind will quiet down on its own. That is the best way to develop the meditative mind. Because the meditative mind is a silent mind. The original state of mind before the arising of thought, before activity of mind. When you are without thought, you are already aware, mindful. That is your true mind. So just relax, silent, and allow the mind to be. And everything will just slow down and finally develop into stillness. If you are familiar with whatever object of meditation that you have, you want that to be the anchor, you can, that is to stabilize your sati, mindfulness. You don't focus, you just relax, silent. Initially, if you want to have a bit of absorption, you can. You can feel it. Like the mindfulness draw the object of meditation and make it absorb. That one, initially, you can do it, no problem. Because you need to have a collected mind, a calm mind. Then after that, as you continue to develop the mindfulness, everything will slow down. Then finally, you will reach the same, because your object of meditation will become very subtle, until finally like no movement. Means the mind has entered sati. It doesn't need any object of meditation to make it peaceful and aware. Is aware on its own. So that's how you develop your meditation. Okay, I allow you to meditate on your own. Then after that 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. Still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. And we will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa อิติปิโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธวิจจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิฑูอานุตโรปุริสธัมมสารถิสัตตเดวมนุสานังบุตโตภะคะวะทิสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอะคาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปนายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาโบวิโนหิติสุปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุยุปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญายาปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติตังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสภูกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดาเคเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญะเขตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let us pay respect TripajaGo through the first set of notes where there is some drawing down there. There is a triangle and the four oval shape. Description of how consciousness comes to be. The way of consciousness. Okay, the heading is.Outline short note for lesson 81 of the Six Patria Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta. So this was done, I think, the previous week, previous Sunday. Last Sunday was lesson 82. The short note also, I think, I just sent out today. Jin Hao, you're supposed to make into PDF. No. Send into our WhatsApp, my Kayamita. Or later, not today, tell me. It's supposed to go to the WhatsApp so that we don't have to photoset. Because photoset sometimes, we photoset, actually we reduce it to 40 copies or 40 sets. But sometimes, a lot of these are repeated students, so...We got a lot left over. So in order not to print so many, we just send out WhatsApp. If they want, they can print themselves. Okay. The first line is page 408 to page 413, chapter 10, final instruction of the Six Patria Platform Sutta. So we follow that book, the commentaries by Master Xuan Hua. So the first outline short note is, if we do not use the mundane mind, the silent mind will be there. So all along, you're supposed to develop this understanding. If you meditate, you will know. But not everybody has the ability to realize the silent mind. So what you need, two sets at the bottom, there are two sets. Oh, you have the other one, okay. Oh, sure. I still have here a lot. Wait, I give to you. You should tell me. Yeah, still a lot. Yeah, those who just came in, I think Vincent also don't have. You pass. Oh, you have both. Okay. Okay. All along, I have shared with you all, you have to understand the basis of mind. Because according to the Buddha, our mind is very, very important. So when we talk about mind, there are two types. One is the mundane mind. You know what is the mundane mind, right? Your mundane mind is your thinking mind. So this one is your thinking mind. So this one is dependent, originating, condition arising. You need condition for it to arise. So what the Buddha was able to share with us is because after he meditated, he realized as a human being we have a physical body. Our physical body, we got our five physical senses. What are your senses? You got the organ of your... What are your senses? You got the organ of your eye, ear, nose, tongue, tactile. These are your five physical senses. They are capable of the respective consciousness. The eye can allow you to be conscious of what you see. That's why the seeing consciousness can arise. But you need the mind to make contact. So the Buddha said, basically, as a human being, we have a physical body with the five senses and a mind. So the mind, when it makes contact with the senses, the respective sense door consciousness come to be. That's how we become conscious. That's why the seeing consciousness will allow you to see things. You are conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So the mind itself is also an organ. A lot of people didn't know. They only understand that you need the mind to trigger off the five physical sense organs consciousness. But the mind itself can also arise mind consciousness. That's why you have the sixth sense. Mind can also make contact with the mind. Yeah, it's an organ. So when you think, the mind think, when it arises thought, that is the one that make contact. Every moment of thinking is contact with the mind. That's why when it start to think, mental consciousness come to be. That's the reason why under the 12 link, you always hear of this avijja paccaya sankara. Avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara is mental activity, mental emotion, mental thinking, and all those things. Avijja is ignorant. This one is ignorant. So the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance arises mental activity. Yeah. Then dependent on mental activity, when you start to think, the mind make contact. That's why it gives rise to viññāṇaṁ. And viññāṇaṁ is mental consciousness. Mental or mind consciousness. So this one is very important. Then after that, dependent on consciousness is condition nama rupam, form and mind. This he is referring to the five aggregate, five mental aggregate of form and mind. Mental aggregate of form and mind. Initially, it's just the consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. The content hasn't gone in. The moment you input the content, this becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what we call the thought. This is the thought. So basically, the five aggregate of form and mind is your mental aspect, which is the thought process. So this is what you need to understand. Yeah? So if mind is an organ, when you arise mental activity, you think it trigger off mental consciousness. Then when your brain, your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, they will react to what you see. Then you associate with the seeing. That's how the content went in. So when your mental intention is impure, or they call akusala, means unwholesome, then the content of consciousness has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So it becomes akusala citta, means the consciousness that has negative karmic roots. So they call it the what they call karmic consciousness that is unwholesome. Unwholesome karmic consciousness. They call akusala citta. But if it's wholesome without the unwholesome, means with the wholesome root, means non-greed, non-hatred, or non-delusion, then it becomes wholesome, kusala. Yeah. So kusala citta is wholesome karma. That's why that will give rise to good effect. Mm. So it's at the thought level with the mental intention that arises karmic activity. Yeah. Then the second aspect of mind is without ignorance. The Buddha said, when your mundane mind ceases to be, there is a true mind. And this true mind can only be realized when you meditate, or by the wise who know how to relax, silent, and allow the mind to be. So when you allow the mind to be, what happens is, this mundane mind ceases. This mundane or thinking mind slows down. And cease. So when it does not think, the true mind, which is all the time there, they will surface. That's how meditation is to be developed through this understanding. So when you understand this, you don't need to go and do all those thought-based meditation where people get themselves entangled. They use the thought to meditate. They use the thought to do the so-called meditation in inverted comma. Who is doing? The thought is doing. And when the thought is active, the mundane mind is active. When the mundane mind is active, you cannot realize the true mind, the silent mind. It's either or. It's either you are silent and aware, or you are lost in thought, thinking. Can you understand? So when the mundane mind arrives, means you are lost in thought. So this one is lost in thought. So this one is when mundane mind ceases. Mind does not arise. Or ceases. So this one will make you understand better. Yeah? So when you have this understanding, you will know how to meditate. Okay, so far clear. Yeah? If you are not clear, you better ask. Because I have slowed down to cater for people who are new, yeah? Who still haven't have the understanding. Then for older people, sometimes you may think you know, but when it's explained in a very clear manner, your understanding becomes different. Yeah? Well, most of you tend to have certain concept of what mind is, because you have not really gone deep into it through the meditation, and you have not developed a clear understanding. So to you, these are words. But when you really meditate silent and understand what this thing is, then it is totally different. How many of you can differentiate between these two minds? Yeah? Nobody. Then no need to study, no need to learn. Until today, you cannot differentiate between these two. What happens when you think a lot? You become heedless, isn't it? Means you are lost in thought. You are trapped at the mundane mind. Understand? And you forgot that you got a true mind, which is beautiful. What is this true mind all about? True mind is what? What is it? Yeah, true mind is a silent mind, correct? It's another word, but it doesn't explain what the mind is. True mind is a silent mind, means what? When you are with the true mind, with the silent mind, what happened to you? These are all different words of the same thing. What I want you to understand is, what is that mind? It is definitely not the thinking mind there, not the heedless mind there. Then what is that mind? Without thought, very good. You need a new guy, Vivian, to tell you. Without thought, you are peaceful, isn't it? That's why there will be peace. Without thought, there is no duality, isn't it? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, isn't it? That's why peace, stillness. Silent. C-E, yeah? And tranquility. All these are the words people use, but you don't know what it is. Etc. And this is so beautiful, isn't it? Do you like this type of mind state or not? Huh? You meditate to realize the true mind, the still mind, the silent mind. Then what are you doing? Creating thought. Understand? This is what people do. Noting, focusing, concentrating. Then method, technique. Finally, whatever you do, even chanting or what, you have to develop the sati, the mindfulness, until the awareness and the chanting become one, until there is no one to chant, until everything still. The true chanting is when your mind is completely silent. Then the awareness is with the activity, with the chanting or with the external phenomena or whatever. It's just aware. No thought. Silent. Still. And this is the meditative mind. That's why this is the silent mind, the meditative mind. Meditative mind. And this is also the silent mind. By tonight, you better get it right. Because this is so simple and so important. Why can't you just relax, silent, and realize this? And when you realize this, you will experience the peace, the tranquility, the stillness, the silence. The meditative mind that is just aware, nothing inside that. And this is the one that can awaken. This is the one that gives you clarity of mind. You understand? Because of this mind state, there is clarity. And when there is clarity, it can see things as they are. That's why it can awaken. Can follow? Yeah? Okay? Very good question. You better use the mind. Very good question. That should be the question, because you really don't know, understand? So at least she is being honest. She don't want to like assume or speculate. Repeat on the mic for the recording, because they can't hear you.
Hello, Brother. If you're saying that we should see things as they are, what do we see?
Very good question. So when I say see things as they are means, the other word that I always use is what? The direct seeing. Means it's not the mundane seeing, understand not? You know what is mundane seeing? Mundane people see lah. You understand? You just? Understand lah? Mundane seeing is mundane people seeing thing, understand not? The direct seeing is not the mundane people. The people that has the meditative mind, they see things as it is. Not according to what your memory, your brain tell you, understand not? So the direct seeing means seeing things as they are, without the words. Remember? Without the concept, without the brain coming in to interfere.
Sometimes the field of vision, sometimes you just see only just this much. sometimes you can.
Okay, very. I don't know whether to call it a good question or very appropriate question to arise the right condition. Well, a lot of people are like what you just went through. Because when I tell you something, you know what you all do? You all will go and take the word, then go and create your own concept of direct see, understand? Like that, he said, sometimes you see a wide vision, sometimes you see a narrow vision. If you have not realized the direct seeing, you can never understand what that thing is. That's why you will have the thought coming in and tell you, what is it? So what you want to understand is very important. But always remember, what I express to you is the truth which word cannot explain, understand not? But I have to use word, otherwise I cannot explain, understand not? Words are needed for expression and explanation, but the word is not the thing, like Krishnamurti say, you understand? So you have to realize it in order to truly understand it. But what I can let you understand is, I use word to explain until as close as it can be. Means I am trying to give you all the hint, understand not? Like Mimi used to say, your Cantonese got the saying, Wak Kong Chai Wak Chut Chiong. Means all the hint given to you, it draw until that thing is the answer already. If someone cannot understand, means you never meditate. If you really meditate, you will understand all this. So what happened is, initially, like now, because the question is genuine, you want to know. So don't try to know through the words. Understand? But listen to what I share. I already explained many times, but you all don't get it. When I say seeing things as they are, let's say the Buddha Rupang, the Amitabha Buddha, or whatever, or even the flower we offer, the flower we offer. This one is lily, is it lily? Lily flower. Lily, okay. How do you see? How do you see? Even this microphone. If you see this using the word, what happened? You are not seeing at all, no. The word deceive you, understand? Microphone lah. So what? So you are not seeing here, no? You understand? Because the word is a concept. And that concept override. You are not seeing through. This piece of thing, the English call microphone, a Chinese guy use Mandarin, he will not say microphone, understand? So everyone call it by different name, understand not? Even like table. Bahasa Malaysia is meja, understand not? Then Mandarin, 桌子. The words are all different, but pointing towards the same thing. But this is not seeing things as they are. This is seeing things based on memory, concept, idea. Words has come in. That's why when you look at the lily, straight away the word lily, the flower is there. Means the image you create through the words, through the concept, screen your seeing. You are not seeing that thing as it is. In order to see this thing as it is, you must see like a newborn baby. You know what is a newborn baby? No memory, isn't it? No word, is it? No concept, is it? Then what does the baby see? It sees exactly that reality, understand? But she got no words. Or the baby got no words, understand? Don't even have the green leaf, lily, or the nothing. That direct see is seeing things as they are, just like that. The pure perception before the labeling. Before the word, before the concept. That's why when I see anything, I see the whole thing. I have to use word. I see the whole thing means I see the whole of this, understand or not? I just aware as it is without the words. But the danger is when you hear me saying this, you try to see like what I say. Then you are dead, understand or not? You know what they say? Hey, brother, you say without the words, no, without the concept. Then you try to see without the word and the concept. That is the mind trying to see, understand? But the word and the concept is all in your memory, you know, understand? Then you find that there is conflict, you know. You find it very difficult. Then you will come and tell me, brother, how can? But when go through the meditative training, the understanding, when you can really understand all this attire, everything you see is different. You remember Eckhart Tolle, no? Eckhart, power of now? What happened to him? Yeah? He was having depression, you remember, before he became enlightened? He got suicidal thought. Then what happened? This thought keep on having problem for him. Then he keep on doing the inquiry. Then he couldn't take it anymore. Until he got all this depressive thought, suicidal thought, depression and all those things. Then one day, because the depression was so severe, all of a sudden, the thought went very deep, you know, because he cannot live in this world because he said, everybody lie. Understand? He said, everybody lie, including the church, he said, the pastor, his parents, the father, the mother, the friend, everybody lie. Then the worst is that he himself also lied. Then he said, I can't even accept myself. I can't even live the way I live. That's why he got this conflict. And you know what happened? At that moment when he said, I cannot live in myself, then he suddenly realized through his past cultivation, all of a sudden his mind developed the understanding. If there is another mind that say, I cannot live with myself, means there are two inside him. Understand? One cannot accept the mundane mind that is doing all those funny things. Understand? Lying, cheating, deceiving, and all those things. So what is the other one that cannot accept all this? And because of that, it triggered off the mind to suddenly realize the cessation. That's why he went in very deep. The mind went in very deep. Then completely ceased. And he realized Nibbana. Just because he is in depression. Bhayam Kathy also same. He was like paralyzed on the floor. You can read all these people. But they have their way because they come this way. They need suffering to awaken. They need all these problems to make them awaken. But you don't have to go through all this. So what happened was when he went in deep, Eckhart, I think it lasted for a few hours. Then after that, his conscious mind came back. Then from there, it come out. Come out. Then when that new mind come out, you know what he described in the book on our power now, you go back and read. He said he was so amazed. You know. That room he has been staying there for umpteen years. You know. But he said it was like the first time he really looked at the thing in his room. Everything was so pristine, so beautiful, so fresh. You see. So pristine. He was so amazed. Oh. Like all these things he haven't seen before. No. So he was seeing them without the word, one by one. No. The direct seeing. No. He was so amazed. Oh. Everything is so beautiful, so pristine. Last time the thought take over, the image take over. That's why he never see. That's why after that, he become totally different. His understanding all different. And he's so happy, full of joy, nothing. Yeah, he was with his mind after that. The mundane mind like Huining had been gone. Then he said he sat in the park for 2-3 years. So. Feeling all this joy, happiness, the peace, the calmness, the stillness, the silent. And then somebody slowly find him so interesting. Because he, although he sat in the park alone, quiet, but people can feel him, no? People can feel his good energy and all those things, no? Then his joy, his tranquility, his stillness. That's why people went and talked to him. After they talked to him, he was so sincere, so honest, so truthful. He just replied according to what he understands. Then they realize, he's a great religious teacher. But he can understand religious word and thing without referring to book. He had explained to you there and then. That's why they were so amazed at him. Then they asked him, who is your teacher? He said, I'm a student. I was doing my PhD student, but I didn't finish my PhD. Then I gave up my PhD. I discovered this. Then after that, I am completely different. At first, the mother was so worried for him. And the mother thought, PhD guy, don't want to finish the PhD. Then what are you going to do? So the mother actually looked down upon him. But when he became so famous and so wealthy and so rich after the book came out, Power, now the mother realized that his son is fantastic. Not what she thinks. So all this is what the direct seeing is all about. Can follow? So don't try to imitate the way I say and learn or try to see things as they are without the word. Don't do that. Because when you do that, it's the thought trying to have the direct seeing, understand? The trying is by the thought. You just develop your daily mindfulness. Until the mindfulness is very stable, until most of the time you are just aware, without thought. That time the direct seeing keep on arising. Everything you come to experience is just like that. That's why daily mindfulness is very important, has to be very stable. Don't ever use your mundane mind too much. Understand now? When your mundane mind is active, what is happening? The first two links is what? Avijja paccaya sankhara. So if this is active, means sankhara is active. Means what? You got a lot of avijja, delusion, wrong view. But when you have this Dhamma, the understanding, when you keep on straightening your view, you should have less and less of this avijja. Means what? Whatever you see, whatever you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think, you are different already from last time. But you can accept them for what they are. You understand their characteristics, impermanent, lead to suffering. Empty, non-self. That's why no more reaction, no more stirring, no more all this unnecessary, heedless thinking, mental activity, reaction, stirring of the mind, anger, frustration, emotion, no more. What for? Then when you realize who are you, what are you, then you realize you got these two minds, then which one do you choose? Which mind do you choose? You definitely choose this one, isn't it? So to choose this one, you must have the right view. That's why less avijja, less sankhara. That's why if you meditate through the direct seeing, when you understand, when you straighten your view, you got less delusion, you got less sankhara. Less sankhara means the mind become more quiet, less heedless. That's what daily mindfulness is all about. And all this is a self-evolving process, like ISO, understand not? It just develops the right view, slowly, one by one. As it straightens, less and less of this, less and less. Then finally, your mind realizes the true mind. Then during that time, you hardly got any thought. Most of the time, you are just aware. That's the time when you can develop the direct seeing and awaken the enlightenment. As long as this mundane mind is active, you don't stand a chance. The Buddha also defined it clearly to you. Dhammapada verse 21. Sui An just sent out on the WhatsApp today or yesterday. What is verse 21? Dhammapada verse 21. What is it? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the day. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So if you think a lot and heedless, you are as if dead. Avijja paccaya sankhara, no cure. If you are heedful, means you are ever mindful. Hardly any thought. Understand? The heedful never die. That's why they are destined for enlightenment. So it's very clear. You need to be heedful. You need to be mindful. You need to be aware. And this emphasis and teaching has been there all the while. But living beings don't understand. That's why they focus on what? Vipassana, meditation, what type of technique, what type of method, jhana, all the same. What for? As long as you don't understand this, you don't go and develop the heedfulness or the mindfulness and stabilize it, there is no way you can progress. Whatever you do is thought-based, repetitive, knowledge-based. It will not bring about transformation. It will bring about knowledge. Yeah. You got a lot of Dhamma knowledge. You can even give talk. Yeah. But you look at the notes on. Yeah. You follow all those notes on. Yeah. You cannot express it direct from the heart because you don't have the understanding. And that knowledge bind actually worse. There is not a realization. So knowledge bind. Knowledge give rise to mental delusion. It is wisdom that liberate and free. Wisdom is an understanding. You cannot learn. It's not rigid. Wisdom is when you insight into phenomena, when you realize the truth, it is with your nature. It is connected to your form and mind. That's why after that, this form and mind is no longer deluded. Okay? So this one, I hope by now, is very clear. So the direct seeing, after I explain, you listen to it attentively, then don't try to do it. Understand? You just cultivate the meditative training, the daily mindfulness, until your mindfulness becomes very stable, until you have straightened your view, until you have very little or hardly any wrong view. Then you are very near to enlightenment. Then during that time, this link, avijja, paccaya, sankhara, will be attenuated, weakened, completely weakened. That's why you hardly think. You are most of the time aware. Why must you think? Thinking cannot solve your problem. Thinking can give you temporary solution to certain things. But it's not wisdom. That's why it does not root out the problem. It does not give you a permanent fix. Yeah. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to meditate. Yeah? So now I read on, then you can understand. So point number one is very easy. Yeah? If we do not use the mundane mind, the silent mind will be there. So this one clear or not? Yeah? Clear or not? You better respond, otherwise you won't learn, I tell you. Then use the silent mind to investigate and meditate. So you should ask me, how to investigate? How to investigate? Huh? How do you investigate? Investigate means find out, understand or not? So, find out the truth. Find out whether what the Buddha teach is the truth or not. That's how you investigate into truth, into all the Dhamma that people tell you. You don't have to accept them. So how do you investigate? Silence your mind, understand or not? Then be aware. Then check, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. What is verse 1? Mind is the forerunner of all things. All this you must have the understanding. Why you can't even understand, you cannot investigate. So when the Buddha said mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, investigate into it. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? Definitely the truth, isn't it? When your mind arises, everything arises. Without mind, who are you? You are dead, isn't it? Maybe go back to basic. I will teach you all this basic. Because when I contemplated 30, 40 years ago, I already understood it. Well, I was a science student. But I realized the school and the university never teach all this. The Buddha teach all this. When I heard about the sixth sense door and the mundane Maya, then I really silenced my mind and I checked and I meditated. Then I realized, oh, this is wonderful. Then I realized the Buddha was right. Mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Why? Because how do I know the world? How do you know the world? Through what? Through your sixth sense door, isn't it? I already explained. So sixth sense door need what? What is needed for the sixth sense door to arise? You need the sense organ, then? Ah, the mind, or the consciousness. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. So when mind is there, it can make contact, it can make you conscious of what you see. How do you know the world? The world of sight and sound. Through what? Through your seeing consciousness. Through your hearing consciousness. Through your smell, taste, tactile and thought process. When you shut down these six, can you know the world? You can't, isn't it? That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why when your mind ceases to be, they call you dead. Understand? Die already. Means your identity erased. Your mind actually didn't die. The consciousness just come out, understand? Because this form cannot sustain it anymore. The karmic force, the life force, no more. Either that or the organ damaged and consciousness cannot stay. Then it has to come out. That's a separation of consciousness from the physical body you call dead. So if you investigate, then you realize, without mind, I cannot know anything. My whole identity erased. Who am I? What am I? You don't exist. Understand? So all this is how you investigate. Then the Buddha said, because mind is so important, it's a forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. Then like Bodhidharma Dhamma said, it is the mind, through the mundane mind, that creates the duality. Good and bad, wholesome, unwholesome, all come from mind. So the Buddha, under Dhammapada, was one. He warned the living being. He said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything arises. So mind is very important. If you don't train this mind, if you are heedless, what happens? You will act, think, and speak with the? With the what? You must have the Dhammapada verse clearly in your understanding. Understand? If you are heedless, you will act, speak, and think with a? Definitely heedless mind lah. True or not? Heedless mind means what? Then the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is there. If you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil root, then he says, suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. I go and check whether true or not. Every time you get angry, emotional, fearful, selfish, greedy, with a lot of anger, hatred, emotion. Are you peaceful? Are you happy? You are miserable, understand? And you create karmic negativity. That's why suffering follow you. Means all these are karmic negativity. Who break the five precepts? Huh? People with the heedless mind with the evil roots. Without the evil rules, selfish people, deluded people, angry people, emotional people, these are the people who will kill and harm. deceive, cheat, steal, misappropriate. Then those with lust, craving, desire, possessiveness, they will commit adultery. Yeah. Then who are the people who lie and come out with all the negativity of speech, harsh speech, backbiting, frivolous speech? These are deluded people, selfish people. Then who partake in intoxicants, drugs and all those things? Heedless people who don't have the wisdom. As you consume alcohol, liquor, or even drugs, your consciousness has been affected, and it brings about downfall. You make mistakes. You will break all your other precepts. And this is how you investigate, and it's so simple. So what Buddha is trying to tell you is, if you don't take care of mind, if you allow your old way, which is heedlessness, to continue, then suffering will follow you. Following Dhammapada, verse 1. So if you really want to change your life, transform your life, improve your life, what must you do? You must take note of Dhammapada, verse 2. That's why he said, if mind is the forerunner, all things mind is chief, where mind arises, everything in mind, then I have to be heedful, mindful. I have to take care of this mind. That's why I have to keep the precept. I have to develop mindfulness, heedfulness, to be aware of this coming negativity and tendency. And then I can act, speak, and think with a what? What type of mind? Heedful or wholesome mind. So if your mind is heedful and wholesome, it's free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if it's a mind that is without greed, without hatred and delusion, what type of mind is it? It's a wholesome mind. Then what did the Buddha say? What did the Buddha say? Then what will happen to you? Dhammapada, verse 2. Verse 1 is suffering will follow you. Verse 2? Happiness will follow you. This one also you cannot remember, Then how are you going to cultivate and investigate? These two are so important, understand? This is the, they call it the basis of cultivation. Sing Wei Ken Pen. That is what Bodhidharma is trying to tell the monk. If you can't even understand that you got two minds, and if you don't take care of mind, suffering will follow you. Because mind is chief. Wholesome, unwholesome, evil and good, all come from mind. The duality all come from mind. So if you understand that, you have to take care of mind. Nothing else will protect you. That's why you take care of mind. Mind take care of karma. Then karma take care of your life. This is how you can transform and improve your life and change yourself. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Understand? I tell you, if today when you cannot understand, you are wasting your time, I tell you. Because it's not just sitting and meditating. That one is just training the mind. The key thing is Noble Eightfold Path. And to understand Noble Eightfold Path, you have to understand this basic understanding of mind. And Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. So when you investigate, you stand up to investigation, you have faith, understand? Then you will never turn back. It's just like what the Mahayana emphasized. He said, 一切一切为心造. You know what is the meaning or not? Yeah? Everything is created by the mind. That's why you have to take care of mind. That's why that statement alone can awaken many beings. Living being, cultivator. Well, when you realize the power of mind, the extent that mind is capable of both good and evil. If you are heedless, it will take you the other direction and it will destroy your life, kill you completely. And suffering will be your good friend for very long. But if you understand the danger of heedlessness, born of delusion and ignorance, then you will be heedful. You will never, never fall. You will go all out to train your mind, to be heedful, to be mindful, to cultivate sincerely. Yeah. Okay? So this is most important. And if you don't get this right, you are wasting your time, like Bodhidharma told the monk, wasting their time. Because you just do the thing through what they call, you are being gullible. People say, sit. You sit. If you sit, one day you become enlightened. Then people say, meditate, but you never find out what is meditation. Then you see people sit, you also sit. You think by sitting, you can become different? No. When you don't understand, you are actually torturing yourself. When you understand, you train and develop your mind, you become beautiful. Then you experience all of the beautiful mind state. Then it will allow you to awaken, to develop the wisdom, the right view, the right understanding. Okay? Then we read on. So number two, now you understand. Use the silent mind to investigate. So I have given you some example. Even the other essential Dhamma also same, the five mental hindrance. You go and check whether correct or not. When this mental state, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt arise, do they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state? You go and find out, don't have to believe him. Then when you train your mind, cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, does it help you to understand his teaching? We are, these are spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand his spiritual teaching. And when you have these five spiritual faculty, you will come to realize they help you to overcome the five mental hindrance. Because with the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, the hindrance cannot arise. So all this, go and find out. Then you will have the faith and you will develop it accordingly. Then the seven factor of enlightenment is the same. The Four Noble Truths is the same, the three turning. You will go into it. This is how you investigate. And when you investigate and realize that they stand up to investigation, your faith becomes very strong, then you know how to use it to meditate. That's why you use the silent mind to meditate. You cannot use the thought to meditate. Your thought-based meditation make you heedless or develop concentration, samatha, which is energy field, a conditioned state, and that is not a free mind. And you cannot develop wisdom with a concentrated, focused mind. Cannot. Yeah, it's a conditioned mind. It's not a free mind. It's not in sati, awareness. Okay, then the three hallmarks of Hui Ning's unique teaching are, the first one is what? He takes you directly to the true mind. He doesn't want to waste time on the mundane mind. Thought-based meditation. Straight away he said, cultivate no thought. No thought is what? When you are without thought, means your mundane mind is not there. Means you realize your true mind. That's why no thought born of a free mind. This is sainthood way. Without thought, you already aware in sati. So don't try to be aware. The silent mind, which is the meditative mind, is just aware. Cultivator must allow the mundane mind to naturally cease. We are not doing anything. And this is wisdom, to realize the true mind. The mundane mind is the thinking mind, which is dependent originating, that is dependent on ignorant mental activity or sankhara arise. That's why we have the link avijja paccaya sankhara. So only need to maintain awareness. We are allowing the mundane mind to return to its original state of stillness and silence before the stirring. Means the mind originally before it stir and become emotional or reactive, it is still silent. That's why you let it return to its original state of stillness and silence before the stirring of the mind. Then the second hallmark is no mark. This is the Bodhisattva way. You will come to develop the initial wisdom that can allow you to understand that there is nobody cultivating, no mark of a self cultivating. Then when you understand that, you will also know all living beings are not real, no mark of a living being. Then you will also come to understand finally that the phenomenal world is impermanent, empty, dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is without the mark of existence or life or even Dhamma. All these are not real. So no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of life. This is pertaining to the conditioned world, because the unconditioned, no such thing. That's why there is no mark of all this. But you can still live in the conditioned world of mark anasana. But you have the wisdom that prevents you from being entangled. Where the conditioned world recognizes mark, the nature's law. But through wisdom, you will come to know that there is no such thing in ultimate truth. That's why when you have wisdom from both sides, then you can have this understanding of no mark, and yet you can live in the existential world of mark via your wisdom. It's what the Heart Sutta said. In true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. Chen Kong Miao Yu. When you understand true emptiness, life becomes wonderful, beautiful. Yeah. That's how you can live in the world of mark. And yet, you can develop the wisdom to go beyond mark. Yeah. Then the third one is also the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. No dwelling. Yeah. Means the mind doesn't dwell anywhere. Yeah. The mind doesn't stay anywhere. Yeah. The mind is free, just aware. And the awareness is the one that enables the mind to have that ability not to dwell. It is just aware. The second hallmark, there is a sentence down there, I read again, just now I mentioned already, but this is from the notes. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others or living being, and no mark of life, existence, and Dhamma. Yeah, because all this pertain to the conditioned world. But in ultimate truth, the unconditioned, all this cease to be. Okay, 1 to 3, the three hallmarks of Huining's teaching are Diamond Sutta's cultivation. That's why when you can reach this level of cultivation, even the first hallmark, no thought, you already very unique, very special. You should be able to go through some of the sainthood enlightenment. That's why Huining take you direct to the true mind. He doesn't waste time on the mundane mind. Then from there you develop wisdom, insight knowledges, to realize the second hallmark of no mark of a self, anatta, non-self. And no mark of others, and empty nature or existence. That's why they use this expression in the Mahayana Sutta. The 5 aggregate of form and mind are empty, wu yun jie kong. Then the 4 elements are empty, si ba jie kong. This is the meaning of empty nature or existence. Phenomenal world of consciousness is not real, empty. Impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising. Then 4, we grasp and cling on to the form and mind because of self-delusion or sakayadity. We think this form and mind or the human being is real, and we exist as a permanent unchanging entity that we can call self. So this is your main delusion. So when you meditate, silence your mind and find out, who are you? What are you? Now I ask you, without thought, who are you? What are you? You all never even investigate this. This is just a simple question. No? If you have meditated, you will have understood. No? Without thought, who are you? Yeah? Your identity come from what? How do you know the world? Through the mundane mind, right? Without thought, who are you? Ha! You are nothing. You are nobody. No, Yun Chai, very good. Because I give you enough hint, isn't it? Oh, not they don't want to say, they don't understand. They say, no, they don't understand. At least you understand, which is very good. Well, I give enough hint, isn't it? Huh? When you are with the thought, the egoic mind create the entity, isn't it? Then it create consciousness, isn't it? That's how you know the world, isn't it? That's how you identify yourself and others, isn't it? That's why the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, isn't it? Mind is chief, when mind arrives, everything arrives. So, you are only real when your mundane mind deludedly cling and grabs onto that human being, understand? Thinking that is you. And how can you not think that is you? Do you understand? Since birth until now, I ask you a question. Are you real? Vivian, are you real? See? The thought still want to say, I think I'm real. Because normal living being will tell you what? How can I not real? How can you say I'm not real? I want to do anything I can. No? I want to laugh, I want to cry, I want to become miserable. I can. No? I want to commit suicide, I also can. No? Why you say not me, not real? True or not? Yeah? Since young, when you are born, they give you a birth certificate, isn't it? Identify you with that, isn't it? Then as you grow up, they scared the birth certificate paper get lost. What they give you? I see. Identity card. Then when you want to travel overseas, they give you a passport. So all this is identifying the physical body and the mind. And this form of mind, the Buddha said, it's not you. Understand? But this one has got a lot of things to do with your karmic nature. Understand? Not? This is subject to karma. This one has a karmic nature. And it's only through the form of mind that you can detect the true mind. Your true nature is within. Without this vehicle, you cannot meditate. You cannot realize that. So even though not you, but it's connected to your nature, your karmic nature, your Buddha nature, that's why it's very unique. And if you don't meditate, you cannot understand. Because if that guy come and tell you that, why you say not me? Huh? I want to do whatever I cannot. And then you give him the analogy. The car and the driver. Huh? If you are a skillful driver, if the car is in good condition, you can control the car. Isn't it? You want to speed it up, you can. Isn't it? You want to brake, you want to turn, you want to maneuver in whatever way capable is possible. Isn't it? Ability to control doesn't mean it's you, understand? Not? You know, isn't it? The driver is the driver. Isn't it? The car is the car, isn't it? These two are separate, isn't it? True or not? Vivian? Why you want to think of question? Now answer a simple question. You drive car, isn't it? Is the car you? You bought it, I understand. Understand not? But it's not you, isn't it? You're the driver, is the driver, the car is the car. So when you look at your form and mind, what is happening? Who is the driver? Your mind, your consciousness is the driver, isn't it? The physical body is the element, four elements. It's like a car, vehicle that takes you along, isn't it? So if the driver simply drives, red light also go through, what happens? You get into a lot of trouble, isn't it? Means you break society's rule, isn't it? Haven't talked about law of karma. nature's law. This is society's rule. So if that driver simply do things, hit red light, go against all society's norm or rules, then you get into trouble, isn't it? Correct or not? So likewise, if the consciousness simply do things, this body will get into trouble, isn't it? When you hit red light, you get accident, what happened? The car gets smashed up, isn't it? The car gets breakdown, isn't it? Get into big trouble, isn't it? But when it is the driver and the car get into trouble, you don't feel the pain, isn't it? You only feel your pocket got pain, isn't it? But physically, you are not painful, isn't it? Unless you deludedly grasp and cling, "Ayo, my new car, I just paid for it. How can this guy so reckless wreck my car?" Then mentally you suffer, understand? But physically the car is a car, eh? But when the consciousness is trapped in this body, it's different, no? When this physical body get into trouble, let's say accident, or get hurt or harm, the consciousness trapped inside will feel it, understand? You understand? That is the only difference. So the driver and the physical body, these two are different. So if you can see it, the driver is the driver, the car is the car, what must you do? If the driver take care, means train itself to be a skillful driver, obey rules, do things accordingly, then what happens? Maintain the car properly, take care of the car. Don't simply abuse the car or overwork the car. Service it appropriately, maintain it, do whatever you need. Just like this body. So in the same way, if you mishandle the car, that car will get into big problem. So likewise, if you neglect this physical body, it will get into big trouble. That's why my teacher told me this. He said, if your body can talk to you, you will feel ashamed. Yeah, this body will tell you, you are the owner, is it? Old master, is it? Harm me not. You know how you harm your body or not? When your mind is unhappy, especially girlfriend, boyfriend run away, or about to have a relationship problem, what happened? Anger, hatred, jealousy. So, all this, the mind feel cheated. Angry, emotional. Then what happened? You go out and drink. Correct or not? Maybe lady don't drink. Lady, what do they do? Shopping. I think. What loon already? Cock loon was right. Go shopping. Yeah, that is the way they let go. Spend the husband's money. Burn a hole inside the... Therapy, oh, means it's a type of healing, heal your frustration. I thought it burned a bigger hole in your pocket. But I was told a lot of ladies, when they are very miserable, unhappy, they go shopping. Yeah, they gather their gang, they go shopping. But whatever it is, you harm yourself, hurt yourself, because most people will become very angry, very frustrated. So they go and drink. They go late night. Then they become emotional, angry. Then they didn't take care of their body. Lack of sleep, lack of rest. Then take too much alcohol. Then sometimes they involve themselves in drugs and all things. Then when the police case comes, worse. Get yourself into tremendous fear. And your mind becomes heedless, restless. Full of emotion, fear. That's how they get into depression. So this is how you harm yourself, hurt yourself. So when you harm yourself, hurt yourself, your body will tell you, "Oh master, harm me not." Understand? "For I'm only tissue and cell," is it? "Have me work for you before I am too old, too weak and too fragile. For the good of the many, help me. Have me work for you for the good of the many, and yourself, before I'm too old, too weak, and too fragile." How will you feel if your body talk to you this way? It means living beings are so foolish, understand? so heedless. If your body can talk, if it talk to you this way, how do you feel? You shameful or not? Means you don't treasure this body, Anasana. That's why my teacher, Ajahn Chandra, used to tell me, this body is very important, Anasana. Because the mind, the consciousness and the body must harmonize. You need it for cultivation, Anasana, to live life, to develop all the beauty and wonders of life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And this body is very useful. So instead of using it appropriately as a tool and a vehicle for you to come to this world, you go and get yourself in trouble because you don't know how to use this tool. Like the thought. It's like a knife that helps you to shape things and other things, but instead you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, and hurt yourself, and hit out at others. And this is what you use with your thought, negatively. And your physical body also is meant for you to use, to serve you well, to allow you to meditate, to experience life, to live, and do other things. But instead, you abuse it. You cause so much suffering to yourself. You create so much misery, not only to yourself, to others too. Because when you are not mindful, when you are heedless, this is what happens. But when you are mindful, heedful, you protect yourself, you protect others, because you don't harm people. You don't harm yourself, you don't harm others. That's why if this thing, which is so clear-cut that the Buddha has already explained, you cannot see, means you are really deluded, foolish, or in the Mahayana term, stupidity, stupid. Really, that word suits those people. Stupid, really stupid. True or not? You don't know how to use, and you go and abuse it, and allow it to go this way. Where God living being don't love themselves? Unless you are heedless. You don't understand all this. When you understand this teaching, you will never allow yourself to go that way. That's why ever since 1971, this nature go all out to cultivate this understanding, to realize this understanding. Because it understands not only this life, all of the future life, it must have this understanding. And this is most important. Without this, might as well don't come. You come to this world to suffer, to become miserable, for what? You come with the delusion. That's why everything also deluded on gong gong one. Gong gong toa gong gong jia gong gong si. Die also gong one. How? If that is the way living beings live life, then nobody can help them. Understand? So you all are very, very fortunate. So today, I think, pardon me for giving you such hard knock. It's about time you wake up. Sleeping too long already, too complacent. A lot of you think that you have the Dhamma. I will never deny that you all have your parami, have your wholesomeness, goodness, and all things. As a sincere Buddhist, you are so much more than a lot of other people. But you have the potential to be even more beautiful, understand not? To flower even more beautifully. And you have that potential. So make full use of it. So take it as a, what I should say, a sincere advice from your Dhamma friend. I don't call it teacher. You all can rejoice. Why nobody want to rejoice? I also don't know. So how to teach you all? Rejoice also don't know. So this is to stimulate your thinking. Make sure this recording, go back and listen again and again. You thank Hui Rong. Hui Rong very good. Every time do this recording. Wah, Mei Xiang also smile down there. Oh, sadhu. Okay, we try to finish at least this one. Number five. The five aggregate of form and mind are empty because they are Ah, form is impermanent. Go the way of nature. Understand that? Feeling? Permanent or impermanent? Sure, impermanent, correct or not? Feeling come and go. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling come and go. If feeling is permanent, it will not change. Understand or not? So it's feeling you. Cannot be you there. If feeling is you, the good feeling pass away, you die. Understand or not? But did you die? Feeling come and go, you didn't die. So feeling cannot be you. Perception come and go, you didn't die. So it cannot be you. Your mind activity, your emotion come and go, you didn't die. So sankhara is not you. So consciousness also arise and pass away, you didn't die. So they cannot be you. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind are dependent, originating, condition arising, impermanent, leading to suffering. They are not real, not you. That's why they are empty. Because they are impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity, they are empty. So realize that. Contemplate, reflect, then have that understanding stabilized. Then meditate. The moment you insight, you awaken. And you will understand all this. Then the four diagram is very important. This is how your consciousness come about, the way of mind or consciousness. So initially is the source. The source is the original nature. Pen lai de mian mo, pen sing. That's why Mahayana say true nature, original nature. So from the source, this is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. No word, nothing. You return to the source means you return to the beginning. And the Buddha said beginningless is the beginning. There is no beginning because it's too long. Very, very long. Inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought or ignorance. The Buddha used that word. So from the source, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. Just that pure awareness. The pure mind, the true mind, the silent mind. So this one is just that nature, like that. That's why that is the supramundane mind, you can say. But they say because of primordial darkness, from that moment the single thought of ignorance come out. That's why it start to evolve until the mundane mind come about. And this mundane mind is the dependent originating condition arising mind because of our senses. Then consciousness and the senses create consciousness. And this consciousness, because it's impermanent, it can deceive living being. So through consciousness, it creates the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how you get entangled with the phenomenal world. So to return, you have to meditate. When you meditate, you return all of mind's creation back to the mundane mind. Then when you know mind is a forerunner of all things, then the phenomenal world of form, they will have no power over you. That's why form delusion cease to be. You can see beyond form. Then when you see beyond form, the phenomenal world loses its power. Because these are all external form. Then you have to look at mind. That's why finally you have to silence everything and see beyond mind. When you see beyond mind, you realize your nature, which is empty, stillness, silent, nothing, the unconditioned. So that's how you realize enlightenment and return to the source. Then the number seven is how to cultivate. Up there, see, is the consciousness. So initially from the pure awareness or the pure consciousness, from there you manifest. So most human beings don't understand. They are deluded. That's why they create mundane seeing. They straight away create consciousness through the senses of the physical body. That's why mundane seeing or mundane consciousness. So the five aggregate of form and mind is at the senses there, where the phenomenal world of consciousness is. Whereas if you are a cultivator, if you are a meditator, you will go back to the true mind. You allow the mundane mind to cease, silence your mind away. Then through the left hand side, the other arrow, the direct seeing. And this one is what Yun Chan was asking me just now, seeing things as they are. The direct seeing is to see things as they are, without the word, without the concept. But as a baby, newborn baby, without the memory and the conditioning, they can see things as they are, but no use, understand not? Because you cannot live life, understand not? Because you don't know anything. That's why they say, as a newborn baby, you have that type of mind that meditator looking for, but you are not sophisticated enough to understand the world and the thing of the world. So what happened is, meditation is to have the memory, the conditioning, and all these things inside, and yet you can train your mind to have the ability to see things as they are, like a baby, a newborn baby. That is the enlightened mind. Understand, Yun Chan? Huh? With all the conditioning, with all your knowledge and everything, but you are not deluded by it. Understand? That's why you can live in the world of mark, and yet you are without mark. That is the meaning. That's why you can see things as they are, like a newborn baby. No problem. And all these memory, views, opinion, and conditioning will not come in and interfere when you're sitting. But the word doesn't come in. When the word doesn't come in, the concept, the images are not there. That's why the direct seeing just see things as they are, the pure perception, the pure awareness. It's just aware, finish. And that mind can awaken. It can insight into phenomena. It can realize the three universal characteristics of nature. That's what meditation is all about. Then after you have the direct seeing, awakening, you will have the wisdom, W, down there. Can see or not? Then the W will enable you to live the noble life of an enlightened being. That's why the other arrow connect it to the senses. Senses is where your physical body, your form and mind is. So when the wisdom is connected, this form and mind is no longer deluded. It will not suffer anymore. That's how it can live the noble life of enlightened being. So this triangle is a very good way of presenting the understanding. Okay, I have to rush a bit. I got less than 5 minutes. The phenomenal, number eight, the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness and it is not real because it is dependent originating, hence impermanent and empty. And we created the phenomenal world with our mundane mind, via our mundane consciousness. Reason why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And when mind arises, all things within the phenomenal world arise. Or you can say the mind right things. Then number nine, trace the origination factor on why the mind stir. For according to the Buddha, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. When conditions are such, or like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So you have to accept this reality, and this is wisdom. So you have to accept this reality as wisdom to deal with things of life, or things in life. For this is suchness, tatata, the isness of things, the truth, the reality of our conditioned world, which is governed by nature's law. So all this, you go back, reflect, contemplate. Based on what I explained to you, you should understand now. Then silence the mundane mind to realize the true mind. This is so beautiful. The true mind is your meditative mind, which is just aware, still, and tranquil. It was there all the while, but because of your delusion and heedlessness, you are not aware of its existence. That's why it's just such a simple mystery. Then Sister Ingby shared her recent holiday experience in France, where her family encountered an unpleasant incident And how she was able to just stay aware with understanding and not get involved with what happened. She can accept the reality of the moment with understanding because things are just the way they are. She saw clearly why all parties involved were behaving just the way they are. Their anger, their emotion, leading to all the misunderstanding and commotion were so vividly expressed. Those who didn't attend Sunday class, maybe you don't understand what is written here. And we went with the whole family to France, Paris. Then they were at this, I think museum place, I don't know what. Then the husband, Chim, I think his leg got problem. Then they managed to get a wheelchair. Then the European people very, very strict one. You have to remember this so that you don't make the same mistake. So they thought like Asia, Malaysia. They hang a lot of things on the wheelchair when they push Brother Chim. Because he has to move, you see. Because they lazy, they want to hang all the things there. Their backpack and all the things. The guard was so fierce, he came. He scolded them and tell them, this is not correct, this is wrong. Take them all out. And he want to take back the wheelchair. Chim also stunned. Then the daughter cannot tahan. The daughter confronted the guard. What are you doing? We are foreigners, we are tourists. How can you do this? So all the emotion flared. The guard, I don't know whether he speaks French or he speaks English, I think. Communication problem no more. But Ingby was able to just aware, stay there and realize what is happening. He can just accept the real. Then the daughter was trying to get Ingby to like support her. Ingby didn't do anything. Ingby said, no, please, please. Then he thought the mother supported the guard. No, he said, he is just the way he is. You are just the way you are. That's why you all get into trouble, misunderstanding. Because you are full of emotion and anger, understand? You look at the situation from your point of view, understand? To you, the God is unreasonable. To the God, he's doing his duty, understand? You are being unreasonable. You simply abuse his, what they call, wheelchair. So you have to be careful when you are overseas. That's why you say when you are in Rome, what you do? Do as the Roman. You don't go and act like a Malaysian. Apa pun boleh. Malaysia boleh. Oh, dangerous. Then number 12. Brother Teo advised that the most important thing in life is to read. Without being egoic. Can you do that? You can do that, you score A. Flying color. So I read for the recording. Relative advice that the most important thing in life is to resolve everything amicably. We are wisdom and understanding without being egoic. Once the ego is not there, you are so beautiful. Do you understand? It's the ego that kill things, understand? Make things give rise to misunderstanding and all those things. Then number 13, Sister Tammy shared an incident on how her inner nature was able to suddenly spoke and shared from her heart and not from memory. You must learn from her. Her Bandemai just cannot understand what happened. She was stunned. The Bandemai looking at the true mind speaking. He was at a retreat. Actually, they were asked like one by one, report and share. So when it reached her turn, number 10, she was number 10. She prepared some notes. But actually, she cannot understand the note. She was trying very hard. Then when it reached her turn, suddenly, she was like she in the hot water or the finger. She like stunned. Then during that moment, all of a sudden, she took the mic, and the nature spoke. And he was able to link all those things so clearly and so smoothly. until she herself also stunned. Is that me? What happened? I say, because you have your past cultivation, you don't know. That's why when there is condition, it come out. And when it come out, it spoke so beautifully. That's why she was stunned. This was the sharing. Then number 14. Do not mistaken memory, which is knowledge, as wisdom. This one, always keep in mind. There are a lot of people make this mistake. When we commit whatever understanding to memory, it becomes knowledge. Because memory is always of the past, no more a reality of the moment. Always remember that. And if you try to act from memory, you are not acting at all. You are not using wisdom. Number 15. Understand clearly what constitutes evil, so that we can deal with them. The same goes with all the other essential Dhamma, so that we know how to use them to develop the cultivation. So it's just like you understand what constitutes evil, the three evil root of greed, hatred and delusion, you go deep into it. So all the other essential Dhamma, you have to understand it the same way, contemplate, reflect, until your Dhamma become very, very clear, very stable. Then you have all the right views. Then that time you keep on straightening your view, you will not do things the old way anymore. That's why you will know how to resolve things amicably. You feel for others. You no longer selfish. You no longer deluded like before. So all this can happen. Okay, last one, 16. Develop wisdom via the direct seeing, then we will be able to live in the world of mark and yet not be affected by them, because we don't. They are illusionary and not real. This one is most important. This one Adeline will understand. Because the illusionary world is really, really empty, not real. Like the magician, illusionist, create illusion for you to see. Okay, finish. At least we have sadhu, good. Then the other one, go back and read yourself. I'm not going to share already. The other one, listen to the Thursday class and the Sunday class. I share it very detailed, especially the Sunday class. So at least we cover both of this. Okay. No class next Tuesday, yes. We come back Sunday. Thank God. We come back Sunday, enough rest. Enough rest. Only Sunday class, two Sunday affected. The rest, one Tuesday and one Thursday. Okay, sharing on merits. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu. Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end. Thank you.